When I got started on this, it was handwritten and just a few pages long. But the longer I worked, the bigger it got. Now, my daughter sent me a paper to edit. She said, I want you to edit this for me. And then I edited it, and I sent it back to her, and she said, it's a page longer than it was when you got it. How did you do that? I went, well, I've been working on my Sunday school lesson all week long, and so I guess I just added stuff as I went through. I said, that was the worst paper I'd ever read in my life. I'd have given you a C- at best for that, and I need you getting to law school, so I edited it. I read a whole lot of synopsises on a certain play. But anyway, I worked on this. You know, it started out kind of, it was handwritten and some notes I'd gotten from somewhere. But the longer I worked on it, kind of the bigger it got. So here was the scoop. We can all stay here to 1 o'clock today, and we'll just cancel tonight. Or we will get out maybe. I had one vote for 11:45. Now, I'm not sure if I can make that one. But we'll get out a little early, and we come back, and tonight we will finish this. The first option would probably get me in a lot of trouble from a whole lot of people, so we'll probably go with the second option. So this will be sort of the introduction to the second half of the lesson, which will be tonight. We're in Luke. I'm sorry. Why did the Pied Piper just all of a sudden, you should have had a flute, and here comes all the little kids following you off. You know, that would have been good. Yeah. Okay, so anybody else wants? No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. Luke chapter 10 is where we are. Luke chapter 10. In verse 38. Now, if anybody else get. Go ahead, push the door. There you go. If anybody over the age of 13 gets up and leaves, I'm going to be a little hurt, you know. No. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet. And he heard his words, But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Most of us are familiar with the three close friends of Jesus. We're familiar with Lazarus and Martha and Mary. But sometimes, because we're so familiar with the story, because we know the story so well, that we have a tendency to miss some of the little things. We read through the story so fast because we know the story. And so we miss the details. But often when we miss a detail, we may miss the very lesson that we were to learn from the account. We may skim over something that maybe that was the reason that God chose to include this in his scriptures. Well, Mary is mentioned only three times in scripture, and she speaks only once. Yet when we take a closer look, we discover that Mary may have a whole lot more to tell us, a whole lot more to teach us than we realize. And our story begins, our account begins this morning with a visit. Christ is coming to their house, and he's bringing the disciples with him. And no telling who else, because we know that the crowd follows him everywhere he goes. And so we're told that Jesus is coming, but the disciples are coming with him, and there's probably other people that are coming. So this is a big event. There's not a lot of advance notice. You know, the house is a mess, you know. What will we eat? We had Thanksgiving Thursday. How many of you were absolutely frantic for 3 days before Thanksgiving trying to go, make sure we got everything we're going to eat, got everything we're going to drink? What about desserts? And by the time you got down to actually eating, you had 17 different desserts because we got to have desserts, you know. we get caught up in preparation for the event. But this was a major event. Jesus was coming to the house of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Well, Martha is in typical fashion. Now, some of you may relate. Yeah, some of you may can relate to Martha, especially this week. She's running around trying to prepare. She's trying to get everything ready. She wants everything to be ready, just like many of us would. You know, this is a big event. Jesus is coming to their house, and she wants the house to look nice. She wants everything to be in its place. And as our account continues, Christ never condemns Martha for what she's doing. She was doing what needed to be done. It wasn't what she was doing that was the problem that we'll see in our scriptures. What was the problem was that she was missing something. It's what she was missing that was the problem. Because there in her house sat the Christ. There in her house sat Jesus, and he was teaching. He was teaching in her living room. And there is Martha in the kitchen. Jesus is in the living room. Martha's in the kitchen. And, of course, little sister Mary is in the living room. She is sitting at the feet of Jesus. She is listening to Jesus teach. Well, this is a big deal for Mary. Yeah, in this time, at this age, yeah, women were to be seen, not heard. They were actually supposed to be in the kitchen. That was the appropriate place for the women, is to be in the kitchen, not sitting at the feet of a rabbi. You know, it was a man's place. It was a man's place to learn the teaching. The men were expected to be sitting and listening to the rabbi. It was Jewish custom. Yet here sits Mary at the feet of Jesus. Now, can't you just see Martha? Can't you see Martha in the kitchen? And, you know, she's getting further behind, and man, it's getting close to time to eat, and she keeps peeking through the door. You know, she keeps peeking through the door, and she's trying to get Mary's attention. You know, Mary, you know. And she even reaches through and tugs at Lazarus' shirt, you know, to get Lazarus to get Mary, and she is ignored. Finally, in desperation, you can just see Martha coming through the door, walking out. She walks up to Jesus and says, "Lord, we have a problem. Yeah, I'm in there fixing you a 7-course meal. And let me tell you, it's going to be fantastic. It's going to be great. But I need some help. You know, I need some help. Will you command Mary," you know, little sis there, "will you command Mary to help me?" Martha knew that if Jesus told Mary to help, Mary would have gotten up and instantly gone to the kitchen. I mean, Martha wanted the scriptures to read, "Mary goeth and cooketh," you know, and because Mary would have instantly gotten up and done whatever Jesus had told her to do. But Jesus looks at Martha and he says, "Martha, Martha," he repeats her name. You know, he's probably shaking his head a little bit, "Martha." He's not angry. He's not mad. He is still teaching. "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things." What you're doing is not bad. It's not a bad thing. But Martha, your priorities are all wrong. Call Pizza Hut. Drag out the paper plates. Sit down and listen. Sit down at the feet of Jesus. Because in a few minutes, Martha, I'm going to be gone. You will have spent all the time that I was here teaching, you will have spent the entire time in the kitchen. Martha, sit down and worship. Now, there is nothing wrong with doing good things, but some of the best things in the world can keep us from being at the feet of Jesus. You know, there are some people who are so busy doing things, even things here in church. We are doing so many things in church that we never take time to worship at the feet of Jesus. And what happens is, eventually, if you do that long enough, you run out of fuel. And when you run out of fuel, you don't have the opportunity to refill. If you run out of fuel because you're so busy doing and doing and doing, when your gas tank hits empty, the opportunity to refill just isn't there right then. You go, I'm just so tired. I just can't do anymore. And it's because you've been doing on your power because you haven't bothered to take time to sit at the feet of Jesus and let him teach you and let him re-strengthen you. We get so busy doing that we forget to worship. Now, Martha was so busy trying to get that meal together. You know, the flour arrangements have to be just right. Forks have to be in the right place. Any of you do that? Yeah, forks have to be in the right place. Silverware has to be clean. You have to be able to look at yourself and see it. You know, everything had to be just right. But Mary understood what was happening. She wasn't lazy. She didn't just not want to help. Mary would gladly have been in the kitchen. Any other time, Mary would have been in the kitchen. If there had been any other guest, Mary no doubt would have been in the kitchen. But she didn't want to miss this opportunity. She was sitting at the feet of Jesus, and she's listening to him. She is absorbing every word. She listened to him teach, and as she listened to him teach, she learned. She heard things that others may have ignored. Maybe she heard things that Jesus had said over and over and over, but the disciples who walked with him every day, you know, they didn't hear because they had heard it so many times. So maybe they missed it. But Mary, who's sitting at the feet of Jesus, she is focused in on every word that comes out of his mouth. And so God will teach her things in those moments that even some of the disciples, like we said, who traveled with him every day, they may have missed it. They didn't get it. But Mary got it. Now, why was Mary able to do this? Why was Mary some kind of spiritual giant? Well, of course not. But because she was at his feet, because she had her priorities right, because she was simply taking the time to sit and listen, to see what God had to say. She took time to stop and listen, to allow God to talk to her, allow God to direct her, allow God to teach her. Her priorities were right because she was sitting at the feet of Jesus. So the question for us, do we take time every day to sit at Jesus' feet? Do we take time every day to open up our Bible, to read, to actually read, to learn what Jesus is trying to tell us? Or are we too busy? Are we too busy to spend time with Jesus? We set our alarm clock so that we can get up just in enough time to get up, eat, drink those 3 or 4 cups of coffee, jump in the vehicle, and we show up to work. If there's no traffic and we hit the red lights right, we will get to work with a minute and a half, and we run inside and go, whew, we have made it. You know, are we too busy for Jesus? Do we spend more time with Twitter and Facebook than we spend with Jesus? Count up how much time. You know, take one day and just write down, how much time do I spend on Facebook? How much time do I spend on... But the people on Facebook, they're my friends. They're relatives. So that makes them closer to you than Jesus. You're spending time on Twitter. You're spending time on Facebook. Well, do you spend the same amount of time with Jesus? Or do you spend less time with him, but a whole lot of time on Twitter and Facebook? Do you spend more time? Now, some of you might say, I don't do the Twitter thing. That's Elon Musk, right? Now, I don't do the Twitter thing. I don't do Facebook. Okay. Do you spend more time with ESPN commentators? Do you spend more time listening to someone talk about a football game or a basketball game or any other kind of game that's coming up on Saturday, do you spend more time listening to them than you spend listening to the Lord, than you spend talking or listening, communing with Jesus? Do you spend more time with your curling iron and your makeup kit than you spend with Him? And you're sitting there, but I don't have any time. I barely have time to breathe. And there is a lot of us. That isn't it interesting how they canceled everything during COVID, and yet we still have no time. You know, everything simply just seemed to, well, you could get stay at home for this and stay at home for that. And, you know, but we didn't gain any time. I have no time. I barely have time to breathe. We better make time. We better take time. We better find time to spend at the feet of Jesus. Now, here's our problem. We're church people. We've gone through the motions for a very long time. We have gone through the motions. We have done what we're supposed to do for so long that we've lost the desire. Heaven just doesn't seem as real or as close as it should be. You go, you know what? I've tried that Bible reading thing. I've tried Bible reading, but we get nothing from our Bible reading. But you know how we are. We have a list. I've got a list. Good Christians, says here on my list. Good Christians do this. Good Christians do not do this. Now, we live by that list. Okay, it says good Christians should do this, so we have to do this. Good Christians do not do this, so we're not ever going to do this. The question is, where did we get the list? We have no idea where we got the list. Maybe it was printed on a bulletin one Sunday morning. But on this list, it says somewhere, I know it's on that list, somewhere, it says we have to read our Bible every day. Now, that is a good thing. We should be reading our Bible every day. But it should be more than just reading our Bible, because we have a list that says we have to read our Bible every day. And once we get through reading our Bible, we could check off the Bible reading and go, ha, okay, I'm a good Christian. See, I got the check. Would y'all like to see my little list? I've got checks all the way every day. Yeah. It should be more than just reading our Bible just so we can check it off our list. That's what the Pharisees did. The Pharisees had a list. They would check off the list so that the Pharisees could look good in public. We do this, we do this, we do this, we do this. We don't do this, we don't do this, we don't do this, we don't do this. And everybody will look at us and go, ooh, they are good Christian people. Look at them. Look at what they're doing. We check the list. We check off the list so that we look good in public. When in reality, we better be concerned with looking good in private. If we look good in private to the Lord, the public will take care of itself. But here's what we do. We have our list. The first thing, we've got to read our Bible. Okay, it's early. I just got up. I've got to read my Bible. Yeah, we begin to yawn. Got to read 3 chapters today. Oh Lord, our God, all this, all of that, everything. Wait a minute. Somebody, does it say I'm fat? No, that's Jehoshaphat. Sorry about that. Yeah, we are so drowsy when we're reading our Bibles, or we've plugged it in and we're going to read it as fast as we could possibly. I had students when this COVID thing first came out, and it was, you were supposed to wash your hands, and you were supposed to sing row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. That was what, I'm sure it was the CDC. They said, when you wash your hands and sing row, row, row your boat. I've never seen students sing so quickly. Row, row, row your boat. I'm like, what was the point? If you're going to sing the song as fast as you could possibly utter it, then you've defeated the purpose. The purpose was to get you to wash your hands longer. You know? But what we do when we come to, I got to read 3 chapters today, and we fly. we don't even bother with punctuation. We are just trying to complete the Bible reading in order to check off the list. And then, oh, we got to pray. But do we really pray? You know, we're prone to use a list, and there's nothing wrong with that. But if all we ever do is fall to our knees, we grab our list and we start going through it. You know, bless so-and-so. Heal this person. Comfort this person. Do this. Do this. Do this. Do you hear what we're doing? We're telling the Lord, Lord, I want you to do this. I want you to heal this person. I want you to comfort this family. I want you to help this person. Help that person. Do this. Do that. Do this. Do that. Amen. Oh, and help the missionaries. And so we go through our list and we just check everything off. And we expect God to hear us. Is it any wonder that our Bible readings and our prayer time really doesn't seem to make a difference? Because all we've done is we've done it just so that we could check it off the list. Have you ever just got at the feet of Jesus and said, Lord, I just need you. Lord, I just need you to talk to me today. God, I just need you. I don't really know what I need. I definitely don't know what I'm going to need tomorrow or the next day. Lord, I'm not going to pull out this list. I'm not going to pull out a list and just go through it so that I can check it off. I'm just going to sit right here and listen. I'm just going to sit right here. Lord, I've read your word, but I just want to sit and wait on you to talk to me. I'll read some more verses. Lord, I want to hear from you. And then you just sat there? Wow, I've never heard of anybody praying that way before. But in reality, that's communing with God. We read the scriptures, and then we pray so that we can allow the Holy Spirit to have that time to point out, hey, you know what you just read? Are you doing that? Or, you know, you just read this. Do you realize what that passage is teaching? That's communion with God. That's allowing God through the Holy Spirit to teach us. Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus. She wasn't debating. She wasn't talking. She wasn't trying to convince Jesus of one thing or the other. She was just sitting there listening. She was sitting there, and God was communing with Mary. That's being at his feet. That's where Mary was. Martha's in the kitchen. She's doing good things. But Jesus is in their house one time, and Martha misses it because she's so busy doing other things, and she's doing them for Jesus. But she fails to come in and just sit and listen to Jesus teach. Mary had her priorities right. She understood, and she found at his feet her blessing. There's not enough strength in us to get through the day. We have no way of knowing what's going to happen an hour from now, this afternoon, later this evening, tonight. We have no idea what's going to happen down the road. We have no idea what we will face tomorrow. Yeah, some of us are trying to figure out yesterday. And if we don't take time to go to the Lord, and we don't take time to spend with him and just sit and let him strengthen us, let him teach us, then we are not going to be prepared for what's coming at us. He knows what's coming our way. He already knows what's headed for us. We better take time to let him strengthen us, to let him teach us before the crisis hits us. There's only one place, though, that we can find that help, and it is at his feet. Just get at his feet. Allow him to minister. Allow him to show you things that can help you. Allow him, you know, you go back in your Bible, you begin to read some verses. You sit, you pray, you let him teach. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. And he begins to help you. He begins to show you things. He shows you verses that you may have missed before, that you had skimmed over before. He's showing you those verses because he knows what's going to face tomorrow. He knows what's headed your way in just a few weeks. He's trying to strengthen you. But if you won't take time, if you're just too busy to spend with Jesus, when the crisis hits, you're not going to be prepared. We need to get at his feet and worship. Get at his feet and allow him to strengthen us, to prepare us for what's coming our way. Let's all stand. Let's take a few moments. And if you have been too busy, if you've been too busy and you need to say, Lord, I've been too busy for you. I just haven't taken the time that I should have. I have failed you. Yeah. I have failed to allow you to direct me. Lord, I'm hurting. I'm weakened right now. Lord, strengthen me. Confess to the Lord that you need some help. Confess to the Lord that you have neglected him. Let's just take a few minutes. Spend some time with the Lord. And ask him to strengthen you. Dear Lord, once again, we thank you so much for this day, Lord. We just thank you for the opportunity we have to gather together and to worship you, Lord. And we also thank you for the opportunity we have to go into our prayer closet, Lord, and just be able to commune and to spend time with you, Lord, and there be strengthened. And Lord, we just ask that you would help us to daily come before you and seek that strength and seek just seek the time that we need to spend with you so that we can be prepared to face whatever the world throws at us that day. Lord, we ask that you be with us today. Take us home safely. Bring us back together tonight. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.